desire your prayers this morning. Certainly thankful for the service. It's been rich to my soul this morning. And the songs, the comments, and just thinking of the last two special songs. Speaking of how the Lord, He knows how to not only lead us and guide us, He knows how to protect us, encourage us, strengthen us, inspire us, and the list can go on and on and on. And this is, you know, you think about this being, Christmas season, and there's a lot of talk about the baby Jesus. You know, there is so much more to Him just being a baby. I'm thankful that's how He came. But you know, what's impressive to me is what He became. He matured. He lived on this earth just like you and I.
Yes.
And He experienced pain. He experienced suffering in a variety of forms. He knew what it was like to be forsaken. He knew what it was like to be lonely, to be misunderstood. The list goes on and on. All the variety of things that He experienced.
Yes.
And He matured into a true servant of God. And He allowed Himself to sacrifice Himself for us. And to think of all those things, what other person would you rather turn to than Jesus? To think of not only how He came as a baby and how He grew and matured in the Lord. And you remember the time He was in the temple, 12 years old. And yet, He could have stayed there. He could have lived on His own very well, easily. But yet He was subject to His parents and He went back. You know what that teaches us this morning? That He was still part man. That He showed us how to submit. And in through those years of Him maturing into a young adult, can you imagine living in His neighborhood? I'm sure there were some interesting stories of things that He did and how He acted, how He conducted Himself. But again, more importantly, He started into His ministry. And to think of all the things, the miracles that He performed. And then, of course, His crucifixion, His resurrection. And then Him lingering yet for some days after the resurrection, just to be there for His disciples.
Yes.
To again remind them, I'm not forsaking you. And that I'm going to send a comforter. You know, the disciples, they were used to looking at Jesus physically. And that was great and wonderful. But you realize we don't have that privilege to physically, Jesus walking in the doors and us to physically look at Him. We don't have that privilege today. But in the Spirit, we have that opportunity. We can look to the One, the source of all strength and all comfort. The One to give us that grace that we need in time of need.
Yes.
We can look to the Lord in the Spirit. And look upon Jesus, the One that sat on the right hand of the throne of God. And realize He has the answers. All of the answers of life's questions.
Yes.
So I have a burden this morning. I'll write the title on the board. Pray for us. So I have written a title of a song, actually. I'm not going to endeavor to sing it this morning, but I do want to read some of the words. I have written on the board, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I want to read just the first verse and the chorus of this song. It says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. And the chorus reads this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? You know, Isn't it interesting how at times, and I've spoke with other people throughout the years, so it's not just been me. But you know, it's sometimes in the darkest, most difficult times of life that it's as if that's when the Lord can pay you a special visit and give you just a glimpse what it's going to be like to be on the other side. I say a glimpse. I haven't seen heaven. But the point is, it's a greater hope and a desire to make it to the other side.
Yes.
And it's through those times that I have to sit there and ponder and think, oh, what it'll be to be on the other side. To be free of all this. But in the meantime, there is something we can do. And that is turn our eyes upon Jesus. I have a little story I want to share that happened, 12, 13 years ago. And I was out with a couple of my brothers and a cousin of mine. We were out in a little boat, just a small boat, with a little motor on it. And we were attempting to do some fishing there in Grand Lake. And when we left that morning, it was really peaceful and calm and just a beautiful Saturday morning to be out on the lake. Everything was going great and wonderful until later that afternoon. We're literally right out in the middle of the lake and trying to catch some big whoppers. And we're out there, and then my cousin tries to start up the boat and it won't start. This is not good. And it happened to be about the same time, or just within minutes, we'll say, that some wind kicked up. And it wasn't a storm. It was still a nice, there was a few clouds that came up, but it wasn't a storm. But let me tell you, when you're sitting in a little boat out in the middle of the lake, we had no paddles, and there weren't enough life vests in there either. That was another big no-no. But we're there, and these waves, we're not just talking little waves, we're talking big waves, enough where it was splashing inside the boat. And we're just bobbing up and down. And I was getting rather concerned myself. I'd had some close calls in my younger years with about drowned one time, and we weren't prepared to go swimming either. We were fishing. And So I'm not too fond of being out trying to swim in a lake like that. I'm not a very good swimmer anyway. So all these thoughts are going through my mind thinking, this is not good. My cousin's like, oh, it's fine. You know, he keeps working on it. It still won't start. And to this day, I'm not sure what happened to it. And so we're there bouncing up and down, bobbing up and down. And, you know, there's something about it. When you get in desperation, you're going to try all kinds of things. Of course, we're trying to, you know, dip out some of the water that was getting in the boat. We're trying to take all the safety precautions we can. Like, well, at least try to keep it dry in here. We don't want to sink out here. But after a while of us bobbing up and down and just drifting, there was nothing else we could do. We got the attention of another boat at a distance. And we're waving at them, getting their attention, like, hey, we need some help. And the end of the story is, he did come over, and we had a rope, and we tied it onto his boat, and he pulled us back to shore, and all is well. But, you know, that's something that, you know, when you're in a situation like that, I may forget a few of the details. Like, I don't remember what kind of clothes I had on. I don't remember the color of my shirt or what shoes I had on, or I don't remember those details, but I remember the feeling that I had. The feeling of desperation that this could not end very well. This could be, we may be trying to swim shortly. And you know, in life, we have those same things that come to us. And truly, God made us beings with feelings and emotions. God made us that way. And there's times that in our walk with the Lord, we may experience some things, as was mentioned in the songs this morning, some disappointments, some troubles, perhaps loneliness, weariness, fearful. I want to mention to you again, I was a little fearful of the deep water out there, just to be honest with you. I'm like, who's gonna end up with these two life vests that are on here? But, you know, again, these are things we have to deal with. It's, when God saved us, He didn't just remove all of our feelings and emotions. We still are faced with things that we don't know what to do. And sometimes we don't even know what to do with our feelings and emotions. We don't know how to respond to those things. But I want to tell you something. There is something we can do. And that is look to Jesus in those times. You know, in this world, there's all kinds of things that can attract our attention. And maybe, well, this will calm me. And maybe this will soothe my fears. Or maybe this will distract my mind for a while. But it really never solves the problem. You're still there. You realize I could have, if I chose to, this may sound kind of silly, but if I would have had maybe a book to read on that boat, I could have tried to take that book out and try to get my mind off of the problems. Pages may have got a little wet, but you understand the point? I could have tried to ignore the obvious, like, well, I'm just going to do this in the meantime. No, I'm still in trouble. I better start doing something, planning to take some action. What are we going to do, guys? Yeah. Well, there's some help over there. Let's flag them down, all right? So we, again, received the help that we needed. But I want to take this to a deeper level. Emotions are one thing. But do you realize that after, over a period of time, that our emotions can also develop into a state of mind? Where it's like you're locked in and you say, nope, this is just how it is and that's how it's going to be forever. It's just who I am. And that's just how the circumstance is, and it's not going to get any better. And I'm just going to have to deal with this the rest of my life. I want us to remind ourselves this morning, Jesus is the one. You remember when the disciples were in the boat and they felt like they were about to sink? And they were in a storm. And I want to read another story here in a bit about Apostle Paul. But just thinking of the disciples there, Jesus was asleep. He's like, Master, should we perish out here? Oh, no. And Jesus spoke peace to the waves, the wind, and it ceased. Yeah. We have contact. We have the availability of the one that not only created the waves, but He can calm the waves. You think about that. The Creator. And that's why I encourage us again this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yes. Just like we turned our eyes upon these couple of guys on this bigger boat, we're like, that's who we need. The quicker the better. I want to turn and read this story about Apostle Paul. This is, there's so much in this story. We're just going to pick a few things out. It's in Acts, the 27th chapter. And here we have Apostle Paul is, they're taking him to Rome. And they get in this ship, and if I remember the number correctly, I think there was 276 on this boat. So it's a rather large boat. Not that little tiny fishing boat we were on, but this is a big boat. And they get in a storm, a severe storm. And knowing that this is trouble. And I want to pick up in the 18th verse, Acts 27 and 18. It says, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. Now I want to focus here on just this part here. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. So I want to go back to the point that I mentioned earlier about the state of mind. So that's, you could say, a deeper level. This says exceedingly tossed. Not just like the little waves that we were in. It wasn't a storm, but it was scary nonetheless. But they were an exceedingly dangerous situation here. And many more lives at stake. And so thinking of the mindset, I mentioned earlier about the feelings of being disappointed, troubled, lonely, weary, fearful. And those can be severe. Don't get me wrong. I'm not disqualifying that. But on a deeper level, Have you ever felt times of, and maybe it's weeks and months of, you just lack inspiration for anything? Maybe you lack inspiration to go to work, clean the house, spend time with the Lord. Whatever it is, you just lack the inspiration. Something has zapped it out of you. It's not just a feeling and emotion. It's something deep. There's something deep, something serious that's been going on for quite some time. And it's zapped you of something. And it can become a mindset. You're not inspired to do much of anything. And then there's another side. Despondent. That means a loss of hope and courage. You know, I felt a little bit of that when I was on that little boat that day. It's like the quicker and the harder we were trying to scoop that water out, it's like the more the water was coming in. It's like, this is an endless battle. We're not making any headway. I was feeling pretty desperate and not very hopeful this is going to end well. But you know, sometimes in life, folks get to a point where it's like they've tried everything they know to do. And maybe there's no change, no improvement. And they begin to lose hope and courage. Well, why even try anymore? That's dangerous, folks. That's when we, most importantly, should turn our eyes upon Jesus. We should be doing it all along the way, but let's be honest with ourselves. The devil is very crafty and very sneaky, and he has ways of distracting us and getting our attention off of Jesus, the one we should be looking to. And it's easy to start looking around like the disciples did at the waves, at the obvious, well, we're going to drown. Jesus is on board. You think we're really going to drown? But yet, it's so obvious. Here's the waves. Here's the water. I feel it. I feel the wetness, and it's filling up the boat, and we're fixing to sink. But dear ones, the other obvious is Jesus is on board. And you think about Apostle Paul here. I want to get back to this story. In the 18th verse, it says, "And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lighted the ship." So they're doing things that they're trying to accommodate and help improve the situation. And it says, "In the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackle of the ship." So they keep trying to lighten the load, doing everything they can. And verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Dear ones, we know what the scripture says. Remember what Satan's job is: to steal, kill, and destroy. And he can do that sometimes with just one simple thing, and that is a person in such deep despair and a loss of hope that they just give up and they just drift. Like we were drifting on that boat with the anchor, it was too deep of water out there for one thing. And the anchor, and in those waves, the anchor wasn't doing anything. And we were just drifting. It was hopeless. And you know, this big ship, 276 people on there, they felt hopeless too. And they were doing everything they could. And yet the storm raged on. And you know, the devil likes us to, we'll put it this way, get us isolated in a mindset to think, you know, this is just me. This is just my problem, and I can't deal with it, and I can't fix it, and I'm just going to sink. Dear ones, that's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is the exact opposite of that. It's a message of hope. That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus came. Because before Jesus came, and you look through all the Old Testament, and so many times the children of Israel, they were just up and down, up and down, up and down, tossed to and fro, like the waves, just wrecking them here and there. And they would go into captivity over here, and they'd serve the Lord a little while, and they would go backslide again and drift over here and be in captivity again. And it was a hopeless feeling. But Jesus came to calm the storm. Jesus came to bring deliverance. All right? Well, That's for us today too. I want to read on here and see what takes place. And Apostle Paul, verse 21. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Notice what Apostle Paul is doing here. He didn't spend minutes or hours berating these guys, saying, why? And just letting them have it. It's like, why did you guys do this? You know, Apostle Paul didn't do that. There was a problem here, and it needed to be fixed. And he also knew who to go to. And it wasn't he himself. But notice what it says here. He says, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life of you out of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." You see what was happening? Apostle Paul was making some connection that night and throughout the whole time, no doubt. His eyes were turned upon Jesus. He realized there is a creator of this storm that created the winds and the waves.
Yes.
And he created us as beings. And here, Apostle Paul, he's God's servant. And he's here on this boat on a voyage to Rome. God wasn't through with Apostle Paul. And he knew that. Because God paid him a visit that night and told him, "None of you will perish." And no doubt when he made that comment, I'm sure some of the folks on the ship were thinking, really? You really believe that, Paul? Yes, he did. And if you notice what takes place here, this is astounding. It says, and he went on to say, saying, "Fear not, Paul," for this is what the angel spoke to him. "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that will sail with thee." Again, confirming, you're not going to perish on this boat. Everyone's going to survive. And he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." You think about this. If you truly look to someone for help, that means you believe that they have the answers for you. How many times have you ever experienced this? I remember in school, you know, when the teacher was needing help with something or even someone else, a good way of ignoring the obvious and not being called upon or involved in a situation is you just kind of ignore them and kind of look the other way. You know, you just pretend like they're not there. But if you lock eyes with them, it's like, oh, yeah, you know. So there's a connection. It's amazing what the eyes do. When you lock eyes with someone, it's like, all right, I have your full attention here. And no doubt that's what Apostle Paul had been doing that night. No, physically Jesus wasn't on the boat, but in the spirit, he was there. And he, no doubt Apostle Paul, he's remembering his Damascus Road experience. Like, well, Jesus, you met me on that road to Damascus, and you changed my life forever. And now here I am on this boat, about to sink, and I need some help. You could say he locked eyes with Jesus. And you think Jesus could turn that away? You think he's like, oh, you'll be fine, and just kind of let him, whatever happens, happens? No. And you read the rest of this story. I'm not going to read all the scriptures here. But there's something that takes place here. Apostle Paul, his courage was contagious. Because they hadn't been eating for days. And he finally told them later on in the 33rd verse and on down. He's like, here, take and eat. We're all going to be fine. It's okay. And the storm's still raging. It's like, be of good cheer. God has this under control. He promised me that. And I believe him. I met with him. I've seen him. Okay? So, he goes on. And what happens here? And when he had thus spoken, verse 35, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. So Apostle Paul was not living this life, this experience with God in a little corner somewhere. It was out in the open. This is the God that I serve. I'm going to pray to Him and give thanks for this bread. We're still in the storm, but things are going to be okay, guys. He had some courage. He was inspired with something from God because God spoke to him. And you think he would have received that if he wasn't looking to the one that had the help? You see, that was the key. He'd been spending some time with the Lord. And the Lord gave him what he needed. He gave him the courage, the inspiration to take action. Let's do something. Well, he did. And he began to eat. Then verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Isn't that amazing? Again, courage in the right way is contagious. Apostle Paul took courage from his visit with the Lord, with an angel that night, and that courage spread to the rest of them. And they were all of good cheer, saying, okay, he says it's all right, it must be okay. And again, he wasn't hiding in a corner and trying to be secretive about it, just telling a few guys. It was in the presence of all of them. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Well, the end of the story is the last verse. And the rest, some on verse 44, some on broken on boards and broken pieces, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You realize when we're on this voyage of life, dear ones, and there may be some strong storms, we can't deny that. And there may be times it may seem really dark and dreary. Those times happen. They come. But that's not the end. You think of, again, Apostle Paul here. He found the source of strength and courage. And when he was visited that night, he responded. He reached out in faith, believing that, yes, you will take us safely to the other side. Now, I want to go back to this little story of us in the boat. What if we took hold of that rope, got the rope, and we tied, you know, they tied the rope to our boat. And what if, as they're pulling us to shore, we think, oh, wait, that's not where we wanted to go. Like, that's not, no. And maybe, what if we cut the rope? And the guy would turn around and think, well, what are you guys doing? Don't you trust me? I'm taking you to safety. Or think of it this way. What if, as he's pulling us along, and then we get about halfway to shore, and he looks back and thinks, well, you know, I don't even know these guys. Why am I even spending time with them? And just cuts the rope himself and just lets us drift. And then he goes on his merry way. He could have. He was making it just fine. He had a big motor, a big boat. Those waves didn't bother him. But dear ones, that's not how Jesus operates. That's not how they operated, thankfully, because we made it safer to the other side. But Jesus is the same way. He's not going to cut the rope. Lord, help us that we don't cut the rope, you see. That we maintain our faith and confidence in the Lord, that He is my lifeline. That's the only way I'm going to make it to the other side, to the other shore. Dear ones, let us apply that to our own lives. And you know what's amazing, what's wonderful about this? Is as others see us taking courage and standing up for the Lord and saying, you know what, Lord, I believe, and take action on that belief, then it also breeds and spreads confidence and courage in others. We can't do it for them. They still have to make up their own minds. But isn't that wonderful that we see each other? You know, that's why we come to services like this, to encourage one another. And we'll look around and like, oh, brother, sister, so-and-so, they traveled from so long a distance. They wanted to come here. Well, so did I. Or this brother, sister, I know they've been in affliction, or they've had this or that. And yeah, here they come, and here they're in worship service, and they raise their hand in the songs. They have a testimony. They have a smile on their face. Like, you know, God must really be blessing them. Well, you know, I think that's what this is all about, dear ones. It's because their eyes are upon Jesus, and that encourages us to do the same thing. So you know what? The Lord's been sustaining them and helping them. Well, I need a dose of that too. Well, we can do that, folks. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. I want to read another scripture in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And here we have the same Apostle Paul had some words to say. First couple of verses in Hebrews 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now I want to stop just a moment and speak about this verse a little more in depth. I want to focus on this part, "and let us lay aside every weight." You know what some of those weights can be? It can be our past failures, our disappointments, maybe in someone else, true, but even in ourselves, thinking, why didn't I figure this out sooner? Why didn't I take action sooner? And I would have saved myself so much heartache, and it would have solved so many more problems, and I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in today. You know, the devil would love for us to just stay in that state of mind and just sit around in self-pity and think, oh, this is just terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. But does it have to stay that way, folks? That can be a weight that we can cast aside and say, you know what? I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to move forward with something ahead. And that's what the scripture is talking about. Lay aside every weight so that we can do what? We can run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what that means, folks, this morning? That doesn't mean we get to sit back in our easy chair, our lazy boy, or our couch, and just take it easy. Say, you know what? I've tried. I'm exhausted. I've done all this. I've done that. And I've tried this. And it's like, nothing's worked, and I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. That's not the proper action we should take. You're fixed. You think you're in trouble now? You think there's a disaster at hand now? It's only going to get worse. It's going to snowball. It'll overwhelm you if you keep that state of mind. No, dear ones, we need to cast that aside, that weight, and say, no, I can't dwell upon those thoughts. I can't sit around in self-pity. I can't. You know, it's another thing to, you realize some people, if they stay isolated by themselves, that's a dangerous thing. And you know, I just want to put this out for what it's worth. Just as an admonition for all of us, if we see someone withdrawing for a long period of time, that's a time to be concerned. Number one, look to Jesus about that. Get a burden for them. Say, Lord, there's something I can't put a finger on. Maybe they haven't backslid. Maybe they haven't gone far away, but yet they're withdrawing themselves. Something's not right. You know what? They may be in a situation like I was that day in this boat, just kind of drifting. I hadn't gone overboard and I hadn't sunk all the way, but yet I was drifting. And it was a dangerous time. And I was concerned and alarmed. And yes, there were fears and there were doubts and concerns, all these things that I was faced with, and didn't really know what to do. But dear ones, there's times where the Lord wants us to be like Apostle Paul. He wants us to step up and take courage ourselves and lead by example. So you know what? I've had some tough times, but you know, the Lord, I remember a time He helped me when I was in a similar circumstance. And the Lord came to my rescue. You see, that's what Apostle Paul did. And that courage was contagious. Well, I want to finish this verse. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, that means some effort. If you're going to run, I remember when I was younger, I thought I could run pretty good. So I met some other guys that have practiced a lot more than I had. And I realized, wow. And now that I get older, it's even more evident. But you know, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, yeah. you know what I've noticed? Those that have been steady with the Lord for years, it's as if, now don't get me wrong here, they still have the hardships and the trials. But it's amazing, it's encouraging to speak to them now. And they speak of the things that were in the past, and those things don't trouble them anymore. They got the victory over those things. Those aren't hang-ups, those aren't weights to them anymore. They've cast those aside. They've cast them on Jesus. Because they've been looking to Him for their help and their strength along the way. And it's easier for them, and all those other things that maybe we're struggling with now, they're beyond those things. Now, they have their own struggles as they go along, but it's as if they're running even faster. You understand the concept here? It's like they're running more with ease now because they've learned how to cast their burdens on the Lord. They've learned how to turn their eyes upon Jesus. They've exercised that faith in the Lord, and it's stronger and stronger. You know what? The same thing can be for you and I today. But we have to exercise it. We have to get up and be willing to run. All right? You're never going to win the race if you don't start. So you think of, again, this race. Run with patience the race that is set before us. And then verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I want to stop right there and consider this. He's the author and finisher. Don't you believe if God started something, He also has the power to finish it? It's true. And no doubt all of us, we could go around the room this morning and speak of the saints that have gone on before us. And they're part of the witnesses now. They've gone on before us. They've won the prize. They've run the race. They made it to the other side. Yes, they had to exercise. They had to put some effort into running this race. But they made it. But don't you believe that God also has the power to finish it in us? This is our time. We can't live in the past. It's glorious and wonderful to reminisce and read the old writings, the miracles that took place, not only in the Bible days, but throughout the ages of history. And to just marvel at the miracles that God has performed over the years. Do you realize the day of miracles is not past, folks? And the greatest miracle is when someone gives their heart to the Lord. Yeah. And you know what, dear ones? We're still seeing that happen today. There are still people that seem like there was no hope. And they were in despair. And it looked like there was no possible way that they would ever turn their heart to the Lord. But you know what happened? They turned their eyes upon Jesus. And they latched hold of that rope. And He carried them all the way across. God saved them. It's a wonderful miracle. God can still do that today. He's still in the saving business, dear ones. And in the healing business. And the list can go on. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. I want to mention another thing sometimes that can actually be a weight. Emphasize this part. Looking unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher. It's not anyone else. It's not your pastor. It's not your Sunday school teacher. It's not your brother or sister in the Lord. It's not your companion. It's not your grandparents. It's unto Jesus. It's not looking back to some of the other apostles or disciples and amazing people, you know, saints of God throughout the time. No, it's not looking at them. It's looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Because sometimes looking to others can be a weight as well. Like, why didn't you solve my problem? Or why didn't you pay me more attention? Or why didn't you give me a little more room, a little more space, a little more mercy here? You see what I'm saying? And the devil gets so off track. What's the scripture say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, folks. We're not, Lord help us, that we not fight amongst each other, but that we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, Apostle Paul, he could have went on and berated those guys, like, why didn't you listen to me? And blamed them for this trouble. But he didn't do that. He focused on the Lord. And he's like, the Lord's going to get us out of this. And sure enough, he did. Well, as we wrap up this year, 2018, and we reflect upon all the things that God has done, you realize, no doubt, in many of us here this morning and others that we know of, God is, if you could say it this way, has started a new work in us. And many of us, no doubt, could testify to that, that there's things that maybe a new revelation that God has given us, a personal revelation of maybe some areas we need to move up in. Excuse me. Maybe revealed to us some tendencies, maybe some weaknesses in some areas of, well, oh, I didn't realize that was a problem. What's a problem now? What would I do with it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't just keep chasing your tail, so to speak. You know, have you ever seen an animal do that? It's rather comical. They're not solving any problems. A dog or a cat, they're just chasing their tails. Like, okay, nothing's happening. You're just entertaining yourself. Yeah, keep them busy. Wasting effort and energy. You know, the devil would have us just to chase our tails, so to speak. Wasting time, energy, not profiting anything. But Lord, help us that we turn our eyes upon Jesus and realize that the Lord, he helped us through 2018. We have 2019 coming upon us. And you know what I found? Perhaps others will agree with me this morning. It seems like the older you get, the quicker time slips by. Before long, it'll be 2020. It'll be 2025. And it'll just fly by. 10, 15, 20 years. But you know what's amazing through all of this? I believe that God wants... We heard about some of this last night with Brother Carl. He doesn't want us to kind of bob along, so to speak, out in the lake, just kind of drifting. And maybe, yeah, we haven't sunk, but maybe there's some water splashing in. And maybe it's a quarter full as far as on the spiritual side, if you understand what I'm saying. And we're just kind of drifting. Maybe not making any progress, kind of chasing our tail, so to speak, and just kind of drifting. And then maybe we're content, oh, I'll just get something out, I'll just start reading this, and try to ignore the obvious, that, hey, there's an issue here, and we got to solve this problem. But you realize that God is able to, just like he did with Apostle Paul, he met him there on that ship. And it was because Apostle Paul was looking for him. He was looking for him. He was looking to the Lord. And God met him there. In that time of need. You know, God will do that for us, not only in the year 2019 that's coming up on us, but he's willing to do that for us each and every day of every year of our lives. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to tug us along for a little ways and then just cut the rope and say, yeah, nice knowing you. You'll make it. That's not how Jesus operates.
That's right.
We're talking about a full salvation plan, folks, to deliver us from all of our troubles. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be some more waves that may come along the way, but it means, all right, I know where to go. When this happens again, I'm going to turn to Jesus. All right? He has the answer. And you remember what happened on the Mount Transfiguration? And they were up there with Jesus. And after he was revealed again to them, and the others were gone, and they opened their eyes, and all they saw was Jesus. You realize that's a very important point. Now, the ones prior to him, they had their place. They really did. But God was moving on from that to the perfect plan, the perfect sacrifice, the mediator, the intercessor for us, the high priest, the King of Kings. He had the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior, in mind. And that is the one he wants us to focus on. Not some other prophet, not some other good teacher, preacher, doesn't matter. No, we need to go back to the source and keep our eyes upon Jesus. And I want to encourage us again here this morning. If you find yourself drifting, or you find yourself lost, or you find yourself chasing your tail, so to speak, just kind of treading water, not really making any progress, I want to read you this scripture again and emphasize another word. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Do you know what that means? Perhaps you do tread water for a little while. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep looking to Jesus. You realize when we finally got that guy's attention, there was a cross. He was quite a ways away. He could tell what was going on. You know, we were still doing things in the meantime to try to preserve ourselves. But by the time he's closer, you guys are like, oh, this is wonderful. But there were still things that we had to do. We couldn't just sit there and like, well, we're just going to, you know, buy the time here. No, we kept active and do what we knew to do in the meantime. And then when we came, he came and rescued us. What a wonderful feeling. Took us safely to the other side. And dear ones, in our individual lives here this morning, God wants to do that for each of us. No matter what your experience is with the Lord, maybe you've just begun your experience with God. Maybe you've been living for God for a number of years. But maybe you found yourself in some areas that you really don't know what to do. You've tried this and you've tried that. And I want to encourage you, go back to the source. Turn your eyes upon Jesus one more time. And another time. And another time. I want to share this with you too. I remember, back when Sheila and I first got married, on our wedding day, you know, there's something about looking into the eyes of the one you're fixing to marry. And you know, throughout the years, I've helped in a few other weddings. And I'll stand there and watching the couple, and they're just looking at each other. They're not distracted with anybody else or anything else. They are focused on one another. It was true love, you see. They're forsaking everybody else, everything else, and they're focused on each other. Lord, help us that we find that same new love in our hearts for God. That He can renew it day by day. Renewing our mind afresh. A new love of Christ every day. And one scripture talks about Him giving us the mind of Christ. That we just fall in love with the Lord every day. That we lock eyes with Him, spiritually speaking, and saying, "You're the only one, Lord." Yes, others may encourage, but they can't solve my problems. But Lord, I know You can. And that's what it means to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He can finish what He's begun in us. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to Him. Amen.